This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This was a great week. It really was. One of the best weeks in American history. I am not just saying that because what President Trump did this week for women, proving he truly is the feminist. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. On a busy Friday, we're getting ready for the Super Bowl. We're fired up for the Birds. We're fired up for the Eagles. And we're fired up for women and their ability to now play sports without having to worry about biological men taking their place. And here to join me is a person who has been a leader in this effort. She has been tireless and courageous. She swam at the University of Pennsylvania, and she's working alongside Scott Pressler now in early vote action to help flip New Jersey red. And she has been involved with the women's movement right now for years and years as an ambassador. And she was at the White House. I'm talking about our friend Paula Scanlon. What's up, Paula? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Good to see you today.
Oh, it's so great to have you on the show. Ambassador, of course, for one of the best organizations out there, the Independent Women's Forum. And how great did it feel being in the White House the other day?
It was honestly surreal, but in a way, I mean, I've been telling so many people, in a way, it's also bittersweet, because the fact that we let the lefty crazies get so far that we had to elect Trump, get him into the White House, and sit him down and say, hey, sir, I know you have so many things you need to do right now, but could you please, please, please sign an executive order that states men don't belong in women's sports? So it was one of those things where I was so grateful to be there. It was a great win. I was surrounded by so many wonderful women that, you know, pushed us across the finish line, but also, yes, we wasted, you know, a good hour of Donald Trump's precious time to sign something so obvious.
And yet he was happy to do it, and he fulfilled his campaign promise. And you're right, it never should have had to come to this point. What a lot of people don't know, I mean, we know what happened at Penn. We know that Will Thomas, Leah Thomas, a biological male, swam and it was, we know that story, but what we don't know is that there was a brave young woman who made a phone call to OutKick and talked about this years ago, and that was you, Paula Scanlon. You really were the first, the pioneer here, to bring this story to national attention.
Yeah, you know, actually, it's really funny you bring that up. I was just talking to Joe Kinsey. He's an OutKick writer, and he was the first person that responded to my messages, and it turned into this anonymous comment story that was circulated millions of times back in December of 2021. So it's been quite a bit of time now, but you know, that week of my life was really crazy looking back at it. And I think I actually do need to write up a short story, because I don't think even anyone will understand really the extent of how wild that time was. And it was just, again, the university was gaslighting us. They told us that we couldn't talk about any of this stuff. And I had known about this for years. And I had said, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting for someone to pick up this story, because someone needs to acknowledge there is a man competing in NCAA women's swimming, breaking these records, beating Olympic champions, which he was doing the entire season, and nobody was talking about it. And so this writer at Outkick, Joe, wrote this article acknowledging the fact that this person was male. And I reached out to him and I said, hey, like, yes, he is male, and it's so much worse than you think. And so I got on the phone with him and it turned into this article, and we can probably go find it. But yeah, that was in 2021. So it's been, you know, almost 4 years at this point.
I mean, amazing. And that's the part of the story that so many people didn't know. But I was following you on Twitter that day because you were at the White House, or X. I mean, you're at the White House, and this was so exciting. And it was really cool to see you up there and Riley Gaines up there and Sage Steele was there and all these other people. And then when I'm following your Twitter thread and you tweeted about that, and the guy from Outkick wrote back and said, I'm glad you called me, and you said, I'm so glad you took the call. And then this blows up, and ESPN, and I love this too, ESPN, their tweet, which you responded to as well, Paul Scanlon, when they were like, President Trump, it's hard to even fathom the language in this, but they're like, President Trump signs an executive order saying that men who were, people that were assigned biological male at birth cannot swim, or was some mumbo jumbo word salad like that. I couldn't even understand it. It wasn't even in English, I don't think.
Yeah, that's what the thing is that we've let them take language, and that's really what we've learned on this journey. I think the biggest thing is Mae Millman. So if you guys don't know who that is, Mae now works in the White House, and she is the person responsible for many of these executive orders. She's brilliant. She's a Harvard-educated lawyer, wonderful woman. I was texting her the other day, and I saw her in person at the White House, and she said to me in our text message conversation, "What the heck is a trans woman?" And it's exactly that. There's no such thing. There are men and women. We are just saying people who are men do not belong in women's sports. If you want to put on a women's swimsuit and go swim in the men's category, no one's going to stop you. If you want to grow your hair long and change your name, be my guest. I really don't care.
Sure.
But if you're a man, you don't belong in women's sports. And it's really that simple. And they've just changed these things, or they'll call us something like a non-transgender woman. Like, what? You're adding on so many adjectives to all these words now, and nothing means anything. You're either a man or a woman, and it's really that simple. And the fact that we even let them introduce this term is just exactly why we even had to go in and sign this executive order to begin
with. It's so true. And the language, the hijacking, and this whole idea of sex assigned at birth. Paula, I keep asking the question, who does the assigning? Like, is there a committee that lives in the uterus that votes on this? Like 5-4? Or is it? I mean, certainly not. They're not talking about God. We know that. They don't mean him. So who does the assigning at birth?
I mean, apparently it's done by doctors, but this is exactly why this is just so, this is nothing we thought about.
They're not assigning it. They're just checking a form.
My parents knew what I was. Like, what? And so this is just, I don't even know. And this is, again, this is why it's turned into this whole thing. And I don't know what that even means. And yeah, the NCAA's writing of how they changed their policy, I think they also use that assigned at birth language, but it's just, you're a man or a woman. I don't know why it's complicated.
it really is not that complicated. And of course, preceding this was when President Trump signed that executive order saying that there's only men and there's only women. And I want to get back to that because it's true. It's science. And it's not healthy for people to walk around having to live a lie. In other words, to say to people, even though you know that that person's a man, you have to say that that's a woman. That's not good for society. It's not healthy. It's not the truth. We should be committed to the truth. And as a society, we should only demand that. So that's number one. Then phase two, of course, is when you say, and so sports, women's sports, which at one point feminists fought for Title IX so that women could play competitively in college and be able to compete and not have to worry about losing out to men. And all those feminists now then surrendered to a very small group of people, a very loud but small group of people, minority of people. And as women like yourself, Paula, and Riley Gaines and others were fighting for this, you got called a whole lot of very bad names, speaking of language. They called you a bigot. They said you were a transphobe. They said horrific things about you.
Yeah, and I think the funniest thing is that they keep bringing up is that apparently I'm racist. And that it seems to be the theme. I mean, I saw all these leftists freaking out over the Trump photo, which I think should go in history books. I mean, I may be a little bit biased because I'm visible in some of them. So like, yeah. That's why I want that. But it's this really, really cute picture, honestly. Like, remove my face from it even, okay? It's these young little girls crowding around Trump. I mean, they tried to paint Trump as a misogynist. They tried to say he hates women, all this stuff. And there were young girls who were ecstatic to be there. I mean, they weren't just there because their mom or dad forced them to be, and they're like, you go for the photo op, you must be here. No, the little girls were ecstatic to be there. They knew why they were there, and they were happy to be there in this photo. And so, of course, this photo goes viral. Everyone, you've probably seen it if you're listening. And the only thing the left can come up with is they're like, well, this photo is all white people. Trump's racist. That was their one takeaway from the entire situation, which first off, they probably need to get their eyes checked because Sage Steele was there. I'm there. I'm Asian. And there's a million other people in the photo that are. I mean, yeah, there were probably majority white people, but also this is a majority white country. So what are you going to do? And so anyway, that to me was so funny. And that's something that they tried to talk to us back at the University of Pennsylvania when we said, hey, I don't want 6'4" tall, fully intact male Leah Thomas in my locker room. They said, this is equivalent to the 1960s when women didn't want to undress with other women based on race. That is what they told us. And I find that to be very funny because Leah Thomas is a white male. And they were trying to call us racist. So again, it's all they have. And seeing, I'm not sure if you guys saw this on X, but the leftist meltdown, the only takeaway they had once again was just simply that, the photo was underrepresented and it's all white women who were there for the signing. Okay, but great. If that's all you got.
But it's not true. I mean, I saw the photos, I saw the pictures, and all these little girls who were around the president. And I, also very important to note, at no point did he sniff any of their hair. Unlike the previous president, he did not do that. President Trump did not sniff anyone's hair like Joe Biden would have. So that's number one. Number two, yes, these girls were excited to be around him. And what I kept thinking, number three, is that as a dad of two little girls who both play sports, I'm thrilled that girls who are the age of my daughters were around the president of the United States because it matters. It matters to parents out there. I know it matters to them. I know it's part of the reason why he won this election because he wanted to protect women and protect their right to be in sports. And the fact that you would be compared to a racist in the 1960s for simply saying you don't want a male in your locker room shows you how completely nuts we've gone as a society. Because there was a time also when we would say you shouldn't let men in women's locker rooms or women's sorority houses or anything else because it's not safe for the women and they deserve to have their safe spaces, you know? But that's gone out the window from the left's perspective, and that's what Trump's restoring too. And as a dad, I want to know that my girls will be able to go into the locker room and not have to worry about some guy being in there. I want them to know that they can be at their sorority house one day if they choose to do that and not have to worry about having to share the dorm with a guy. And a lot of people don't know this, but and tell me if I'm wrong, Paula, but on these road trips for college sports, women would have to share, in many cases, a room with a guy when they were on the road.
Yeah, and that's something that's happening a lot. I mean, actually, so conveniently on our team, a lot of girls would go to our coach and say, hey, you know, if Leah Thomas is my roommate, I'm not going to be happy about it. And so our coach actually would very carefully select a few girls who were comfortable with it, and they would be Thomas's roommate. But this is happening in on school trips as well, and we're seeing this across the country where there's parents, and I don't think my parents knew who I roomed with when I was sent away on these school trips. And you go on field trips in like sixth grade. You're 12 years old, 11 years old sometimes when you're going on these trips. And this is happening across the country where these girls, because the boy in their class says that he's a girl, he's being roomed with the girls. And this has been happening in cases that there was a case out of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, actually, where a young, and it was, I think it was an elementary school situation, something like fifth graders or sixth graders, something like that, like very young. And the parents had no idea. They got back and that their daughter had been roomed with a boy from school because the boy said he was a girl. And so again, that's why this issue is important. That's why it's concerning to people. That's why parents were very upset and voted on this issue, and why, again, yes, it mattered a lot to parents to see this through and to end this problem. And so it was just all of this is nonsense and madness. And again, I'm grateful that Trump's taken such leadership on this. And again, it's part of the reason why I voted for him. And it's part of the reason probably why most Americans really were excited to vote for him.
I mean, even Stephen A. Smith came out and said that this is crazy, that that men have an advantage over women in sports because of testosterone. So you even have guys like him coming out and saying how absurd this is. So Trump has given cover to people who all agree with this. I know they said the poll, I think Caroline Leavitt said it's like 80%. I think it's higher than that. I really do. I think everybody agrees with this. I really do. It's just that important to people. By the way, follow Paula on X at Paula Y. Scanlon. We are streaming live on YouTube. We'll post a video of this later today. But it's a really important, very, very important day and week in America. And you had a lot of great coverage too. You were on with Laura Ingraham on Fox News. You were on Fox and Friends. You were all over the place this week. So good for you.
Yes, I'm not going to lie. I have not slept very much in the last couple of days, but I'm powering through. It's just been amazing. And honestly, I've gotten messages from people I haven't talked to in years.
Yeah.
So the coverage of this whole event has been definitely massive, which shows where the support is. I mean, there's people who I thought were pretty left leaning that have messaged me to say, hey, congratulations on seeing this through. And I haven't talked to them since 2017. So it's, I think that it shows really the American people wanted this. I think it shows a huge win for women. I think it also shows the left, hopefully, to not do something like this that's so ridiculous, where you have 80% plus of Americans agreeing on this. There's not that many things that 80% of Americans agree on. And the fact that you tried to defend and campaign on the other side for this 20% or smaller group of people should show them how out of touch they were and should show them why they lost. And so honestly, for their sake, I hope that they figure this out and change course, but I haven't even really seen any responsibility taken by them. So it'd be interesting what happens in the next couple of years in the next election cycle.
Well, obviously the NCAA has come along and said that they're not going to allow biological men to compete with women. And we're waiting on the Olympics. Is that right? That's the next thing we have to understand.
Yeah, we're waiting on the Olympics. I mean, currently the International Olympic Committee is allowing any organization to just make their own rules. I think that's really been what they've allowed. And so, yeah, we want to put pressure on the international bodies. The NCAA is still a bunch of cowards because they should have done this 3+ years ago when Thomas started dominating, but they had to wait to say, oh, we're just doing it now because of federal law. Okay, where were you several years ago when this was a problem? And so that to me, I'm happy that they did it. Better late than never is kind of been my sentiment on that. But again, you had an opportunity to help defend and protect us and support us when we were going through this. Then they allowed other athletes to go through this in other sports. And then finally, after they're forced by President Trump through executive order, now they're changing their course. Like, of course.
Of course.
So I'm happy about it, but yes, again, it's just showing again why we got here, because people are cowards, and that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, it does. And before I let you go, and I'm really grateful for your time because you are in high demand this week, but you don't forget your roots, and that's what matters to us. That's why we love you, because you're authentic. Early vote action, you're working hard in Jersey to flip Jersey red, and I saw Scott was posting about Pennsylvania today. You guys are going to do this. I mean, you're going to make this happen, and we got a real chance here in 2025 in New Jersey.
Yes, we do. Scott is also staying in Pennsylvania. So for your Pennsylvania listeners, do not worry. We're not forgetting about you. Pennsylvania will always be the top priority. But we're working on the New Jersey governor race. The people in New Jersey are tired. They're sick and tired of what's been going on with the Democrats. Things are expensive. There's migrants running around because they're like, you know, come stay in my home, which I don't know what the governor of New Jersey is doing with that. I think he's just trying to make a political statement by, I don't know what is going on there. But what I do know is that the people of New Jersey deserve better. And that is why we're coming in. I've been ecstatic by the number of people who have reached out wanting to help. I honestly did not expect this many people in New Jersey to be this ecstatic about electing a Republican governor. So the energy is there. The people are there. We have volunteers, hundreds of volunteers already that have committed their time to helping us. And so we are going to get it done. We are there to help the people of New Jersey, and everyone should want this win. And we're going to also continue to expand into other states and other races in the future. So definitely stay tuned on what we're working on there. And well, I'm sure I'll be back for updates.
Oh, I know you will. And I have no doubts that with your efforts on this, it will happen, because I mean, 4 years of you and your fight to get the protection that women deserve for sports. And it happened. It happened at the White House this week, and you were there for it. And we're all proud of you. So, Paula Scanlon, great job. Congratulations. Follow Paula on X and stay tuned for lots of exciting updates in the years to come. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. A lot more to get to. Busy day. We're just getting warmed up. A little bit later in the show, the Deputy White House Press Secretary is going to be joining us. I'm excited to have him back on the show. Last time he was on the show, he was just a mere campaign aide. Now he's big time. And of course, Super Bowl Sunday coming up on Sunday. So we're excited for that as well. And that's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, Dr. Mike's going to give you the smile of your dreams. All right, quick break. Coming up, more leftist meltdowns over Doge. But I'll tell you what one United States attorney is doing about it to protect Elon Musk and Doge. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby! We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't rest. Great to have you with us today on a busy, busy Friday. Every day in Trump's America is going to be busy. Just how it is. The Trump administration suing Chicago over sanctuary city laws. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on today. I have some great audio for you. And at some point in the show today, we might also have the president signing some executive orders. So if we do, we'll dip into it. I may or may not talk over him. I don't know. It just depends on my mood. Here is the Secretary of Energy, Chris Wright. I'm very excited about the fact that the president has reversed the ban on liquid natural gas. And what that means now, that means that we are going to be able to sell our liquid natural gas. And you heard the Prime Minister of Japan today say, thank you, Mr. President. We're going to buy it. We want to buy it. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And we're going to drill. And we are going to lower prices in America because we're going to unleash American energy independence. And then we will be selling our oil and natural gas around the world. Do you know right now France spends more money buying natural gas from Vladimir Putin than it does giving to Ukraine to fight the war against Russia? How upside down is that? Cut number five.
But we've had 4 years of an administration that's done everything it could to raise the cost to produce a barrel of oil. We're not sure if you can get a permit, you know, to drill here, or it's going to take 18 months. You've got uncertainty. You've got to build pipelines or gathering lines to move that to product to market. Well, we're not sure if you can do that. You got to do another study, another this. So when you add the costs, of course, you hurt the economics. Now we're going to have a more efficient operating environment. I think we're going to see some efficiencies from scale, some efficiencies from certainty, and more credible capital markets. We've tried to starve the oil and gas industry globally, somehow thinking that's going to help climate change. There's been a lot of nonsense, and I think the agenda of this administration, this president, is to bring back common sense.
Can we?
There you go. And big balls, too. This is CNN is the great. So all the corruption we're exposing with Doge, all the waste, all the fraud, all the lunacy of where our money's been spent over the years, what they're really concerned with are some of the names of the people who work for Doge. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, wouldn't the media be more concerned about the waste, the scandal, the corruption that Doge is exposing? No, because this media is more concerned with the names they use online, especially when they might be a little bit risque, if you know what I mean. Cut 13.
So this is a 19-year-old high school graduate who has used the unfortunate nickname Big Balls online. So that would be one way that we could refer to him. He is now working at Musk's behest inside Doge. And we looked into his background. And so we found, you know, several notable things, Aaron, one of which is that this individual has founded multiple companies, including one with another unfortunate name, Tesla.Sexy LLC, which he established in 2021. He would have been around 16 years old. Now, this LLC controls dozens of web domains.
So, Kara, you know, you hear this and you have known Elon Musk for years. So now you look at these young men who are now in data and in the private information about maybe hundreds of millions of American citizens as young as 19, the big balls here that he's talking about. Most of them are in their early 20s. There's an exception I'm going to get to in a minute. I'm curious, though.
Can we just stop it for a second here? Hearing big balls coming out of her mouth like that. Multiple occasions, it just makes me think that it's literally the only reason why they are doing this segment. That and the sexy Tesla guy, but I just think she wanted an opportunity to just say big balls. I really do. There's no other newsworthy reason to cover that other than Erin Burnett just likes that coming out of her mouth. I mean, I can't. There's no other way around it. Oh, I think you're trying to get to the idea that Elon Musk is using young people who are tech savvy. That's a bad thing now? Suddenly that's a bad thing. I thought that was a good thing to use young people who are tech savvy if we're trying to get to the bottom of, but that's the thing. They are going to expose the corruption. That's why you don't want that. So let's make another demographic group mad. Young people. You know, John Fetterman, who's never going to be a Republican, and so please stop thinking to yourself, John Fetterman may become a Republican someday. John Fetterman is never going to be a Republican. That's a fantasy. Stop believing it. Please. I beg of you, stop believing it. But he's not wrong. That's cue up cut number six here when he warns Democrats that they keep making people upset. They keep making people angry. I guess now their goal is let's make young people hate us, too. Every other demographic out there hates our guts. So let's make young people hate us, too. This is an interview he did with a reporter named Tara Palmieri. Cut number six.
Why is the Democratic Party viewed as toxic by so many? Like, even people inside the party acknowledge that.
I think their primary currency was shaming and scolding and talking down to people and telling them, hey, I know better than you, or you're dopes, or you're a bro, or you're ignorant, or, you know, don't you, how can you be this dumb? I can't imagine it. Like, and then, by the way, they're fascists. How can can you vote for that? And, you know, when you're in a state like Pennsylvania, like, I know and I love people that voted for Trump, and they're not fascist. You know, they don't support insurrection and those things. And you know, if you go to an extreme and you become a boutique kind of a proposition, then you're going to lose the argument. And then we have done that. When I show up at like a working site, I can all but guarantee you, you know, if they're politically engaged, you know, who they vote for, why they would vote there, and they just think they want to identify with people that seem to be looking out for me or for me. I described the 24 election was not about obscure kinds of policies. It's a gut check kind of vote. And they are going to ask themselves, who is going to protect or project my personal view of the American way of life? And who's the better match for what I believe is the American way of life? And I'm going to vote for that person. And that's why I think Trump won. And then, like, for example, you know, the new leadership.
Pause it right
there.
Pause it right there. Just pause. Okay. Now, pause it. I want you to think about something for a second here. Pennsylvania, right? John Fetterman's state of Pennsylvania, U.S. Senator. And his whole thing is, I'm from Pittsburgh. You know, I'm the Pittsburgh area. I'm the guy with the steel workers. I'm the guy who's hanging out with the real people. Why do you think Fetterman's saying all this? See, if you peel back the onion here a little bit, you realize the war that's happening within the Democrat Party. And it's not something that the corporate media is really acknowledging. So let me share this with you. You have a party that has not been this divided, that has not been at this kind of an abyss, probably since, and I'm not exaggerating here, the 1800s. I don't know if the Democrat Party survives this for the reason that you can't get more different than what John Fetterman's saying and what the leadership of the DNC is saying with regards to, we need to make sure we have a non-binary person in leadership. If we have a male in one spot and then a female in the other spot, we got to see. I don't know how you fix that. I don't know how you fix it when you've got a U.S. senator from Pennsylvania, the must-win state, saying that the party's nuts, but he's competing with Gavin Newsom, and they're in the same political party. You know, the Republican Party has disagreements on things, but for the most part, it's pretty aligned. Over 90-something percent of Republican primary voters voted for Donald Trump. In the end, Trump had over 93%, probably even higher, in the primary when he was the nominee. The party is with him. Everybody's with him. They may have disagreements with him. You know, you're not going to agree on everything. I like I said earlier in the show, I don't like ethanol. Okay. Some people don't like all the tariffs. But we're all there. We're philosophically, we're all aligned. We want to make America great. We want to put America first. We want to stop the waste, the spending, the corruption. We want to make sure that our money's not being wasted in nonsense going overseas. We want to make sure that our tax dollars are not being used in a gigantic slush fund. So we're all aligned philosophically. And then we have disagreements on things, little things, like whether or not there should be age verification for social media. But we agree on the broad philosophical point of the government should not be weaponized against its own people. The government should not be spying on the American people. We want the border to be sealed up. We don't want illegal immigration coming into America. Do you realize that John Fetterman's position on that is the outlier position in the Democrat Party? So we don't have a big divide in the Republican Party right now over issues. They have a big divide on every issue. There's nothing that they have consensus over. And then the times where you have somebody sensible go viral for saying like what Fetterman's saying, the reason why is because it is such an outlier position. The reason why this clip of Fetterman is going viral is because it's completely antithetical to what you heard at the DNC leadership last week. And you may say to yourself, Fetterman's putting on an act because Fetterman needs to get elected in Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania's shifting, maybe. But I think it highlights just how completely divided the Democrat Party is. And I don't know how you rebuild that when you're so You look at half the party believes, more than half, I'm sorry, 75-80% of the party believes the border should be open. 75-80% of the party believes that a man can be a woman. 75-80% of the party believes that taxes aren't high enough. 75%, 80% of the people believe that the biggest priority right now should be giving pornography to your kids in schools. And that's a hill they should die on. So let's continue with Fetterman, because he brings up the Democrat leadership that just happened and the Democrat leadership vote that just occurred. Go ahead.
The vice chair, you know, abolish ICE. And now the other thing saying, you know, defund the police and those things. You know, I'm concerned that we really haven't paid attention on what happened. And have we looked up at the scoreboard and been like, oh, by the way, we've lost.
How do Democrats.
You lost. But it's bigger than that, because half your team hates the other half of your team. I'd say it might be even worse. It might be even worse than that. But the Republican Party is very united. There are things that Republicans, conservatives, libertarians disagree on. And that's normal. That's healthy. You don't want a party that's lockstep in everything together. Like, I criticized Josh Hawley this week on two different things. Number one, his whole idea of capping credit card interest rates sounds good, except that's the kind of crap that Democrats do. His whole thing about giving parents the ability to sue social media companies sounds good, except that's what Democrats want to do with gun companies. There are disagreements, but philosophically speaking, we're all on the same page. America first, make America great again, secure our border, make sure that we don't start unnecessary wars, get us out of foreign conflicts we don't need to be in, make sure that we can afford to keep the dollar as the world's reserve currency, we don't collapse on $35 trillion in debt. And the Democrats are arguing about whether or not a non-binary person should be in the third leadership position chair at their leadership vote. Because if you have one biological male and one biological female, and then if you have a transgender on the second ballot, then you have to have a non-binary on the third ballot. And if there's a man who, I guess, decides to chop his schwanz off, then that person loses their leadership position. That's party, it's freaking nuts. How do you fix that in 4 years? And I'll tell you what's going to happen is that you'll have a guy like Josh Shapiro run. He won't win the primary at this rate because the battle's going to be for the who gets the crazy vote, because that's the party. The party's nuts. I don't understand why guys like John Fetterman and Josh Shapiro remain Democrats. I don't get it. I really don't. There's nothing in this party left for them if they believe in anything that's centrist. Where are you allowed to have any centrist positions in today's Democrat Party? The problem for them is they philosophically agree with the Republican Party, disagree with the Republican Party on far too many things. Take energy as an example. I mean, you've got two guys here from the state of Pennsylvania, the governor and the U.S. senator, the Democrat senator, who both believe that the liquid natural gas ban was stupid, that banning natural gas is stupid, that we should be drilling and we should be fracking and that we should be exporting energy around the world. That is such a minority position in a party that believes climate change is the greatest existential threat, that we should shut down oil and natural gas. So how is there a place for them in today's Democrat Party? Now, in the early 90s, when Bill Clinton was looking at the Democrat Party as going too far to the left, he was running as a centrist Democrat. That was his whole thing in 1992. But if you go back to 1992 and you look at the other Democrats who were considered liberal, take Tom Harkin as a great example. Back then, Harkin was a liberal because he wanted to spend a lot of money and do a lot more federal spending programs. But this was not a party at the time that was battling over whether or not a four-year-old should be able to have a sex change operation, even though you can't change your sex, but, you know, a mutilation, and then whether or not taxpayers should pay for it. Like, that kind of lunacy had not even crossed the threshold back then. They were all about the border, securing the border. They were all about making sure that people would be deported if you were in this country illegally. They wanted a border wall back then. So their disagreements as a Democrat Party, and the reason why Clinton was able to capture the centrist argument, is that they had gone a little too left on things like economics. Some of their economic policies were a little too lefty. The Democrat Party today That's not even a question. To even begin to compete in Democrat Party politics, you have to be a socialist. If you want to be your party's nominee, you got to believe in socialism. So I think the party's in deep trouble. I really do. I think the Democrat Party is in deep trouble. I think deep down, if you're a Democrat and you're listening to the show, I think you know that too. I think you see the craziness with your own eyes and you don't know a way out of it. And I'm going to tell you what happens, because I'm very good at predicting this stuff. The Democrats will double down on crazy because you're already seeing it. Chuck Schumer's whole little rant the other day, you know, we won't rest, the great nursing home uprising, Maxine Waters blocking the entrance to the Department of Education. This is just the beginning. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because they have some sort of a reflex with Donald Trump. It's like when I eat onions, I get bad agita. I get bad acid reflux. There's something everybody, that one thing that you eat, you know what I mean? You get bad reflux. That's how Trump is to them with everything. So all they know how to do is to flip out and go crazy and then double down on that crazy. I don't know how there's room for centrist Democrats in today's Democrat Party. I don't know where you belong. There's a reason why Fetterman goes viral for saying this stuff. There's a reason why Josh Shapiro is trying to keep his head down right now. And there's a reason why Phil Murphy, who's a very smart guy, as much as I think he's an absolute moron, and I know that that's, he's no dope. He knew what he was saying when he said he was harboring an illegal immigrant over his garage. There was a time the Democrat Party would have been incensed with the idea that you're harboring criminal illegal immigrants in your city from federal authorities. And right now, the Trump administration has to sue Democrat cities, Democrat mayors, Democrat states and governors because they want to harbor illegal immigrants in their cities and their states. And that was a time that the Democrat Party was for building a wall. How do you dial that crazy down? How do you dial that back? I don't think you can. I really don't. I don't think there's a way to do that. I'm being honest with you. I mean, I'm looking at what I think is the end is near for the Democrat Party. And I like I've always said to you, the problem in this country is that you have a two-party system that begins at the local level, which is why a third party is almost impossible. And if you think that you've seen the level of crazy on the national level, we played you a montage the other day of a Democrat who in Newark, New Jersey, who's a state legislator screaming about let's shut down the city. So it's infected down to its core, even down to the local level. You've got ward leaders in places like Chicago fighting with other ward leaders over the fact that they don't want their city to be a sanctuary city anymore. How does a party that can't even agree on getting criminals out of their city become a majority party again? Now, look, that doesn't mean that the Democrats won't win the House. The House seats are very, very close. The districts are very close. But in terms of being a national political party again, they got a whole lot of baggage they got to work out here. They got a whole lot. That's why you got guys like James Carville coming out and talking about how horrible of a candidate Kamala Harris was. That's why you got Fetterman saying what he's saying right now. Meanwhile, Trump is just bulldozing over these people because their reaction to everything he does is to go to crazy level 10,000. Forget 10. It's crazy level 10,000. That's all these people know. I do not think John Fetterman's going to flip. I don't. Oh, is that a joke? Sorry. No, he can't, because that's the other problem, though. The other problem for him is that if he becomes a Republican, then he has to take a seat all the way in the back. So he's going to be Joe Manchin. He'll be Kyrsten Sinema. And eventually they'll just give up and they'll leave, or they'll get primaried and lose by someone who's crazier than them. Because the primaries still attract the crazy people. And that's the other problem the Democrat Party has that's not going to change anytime soon, is that by the time you start campaigning for South Carolina, Iowa, New Hampshire, you're still trying to win the votes of the four out of four Democrat voters. So in all the years in politics, we always say it like that. Are you a four out of four voter, meaning you vote in four out of four elections? And that includes the primary elections. That means you're the diehards. Well, the diehards on the left are the very same people people that believe that Trump's executive order protecting women in sports is bigoted, transphobic, sexist, and that they should be on the side of men, of people who were assigned male at birth but want to be a woman and compete in women's swimming. That group of crazy, that mixed bag of nuts, that's who's voting in the primary for president of the United States. And that ain't changing anytime soon. So Fetterman will just wind up like Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, and any other centrist Democrat out there. Eventually, they'll find a way to get rid of him because there's no pathway for him in that party, and there's no pathway for him in the Republican Party. So they'll just fade away. And that's great for us. Great for us. Makes me very, very happy. All right, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zioli. We got so much more to go. We're just getting warmed up, kids. Don't go away. Hey, Roger come back yet, or is he still is he still not listening to the show anymore? Did I still lose a listener? Or did Roger come back? Do we know?
I haven't seen Roger.
No? Ah, shoot. I don't know how I'm gonna survive this. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. You know what I mean? This hurts, losing Roger as a listener. This hurts deep down in my soul, my heart.
It's a tough day for the Rich Zioli show, but we got to
soldier
on.
This is a tough day, Justin. I don't know how we're going to. I'll trade Roger for DeSantis. Like, I'll give DeSantis up and get Roger back. That's how strongly I feel about this.
It's very hurtful, but also not surprising. Yeah.
My South Jersey Lodge 56 Fraternal Order Police cup here, mug. I got a little bit of a little agua. Now, DeSantis, you are the Roger of producers. You know what I mean? You really are.
Well, sounds very insulting once again. Not very many compliments being thrown around today.
You should never listen again. You don't listen now. Who the hell are we kidding, DeSantis? How many times are you like, I go to you and there's nothing, just crickets. Hang on, I put a little powder in my nose. Look how red it is. Holy cow. If Santa needs me, I'll be in my studio. Look at how freaking red that nose is. I got to put some powder on. Holy cow. I'm not even drinking. This rosacea. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that, that red honker. Look at that. It's all lit up. It's like somebody injected me with red dye number 5 before they banned it. That's what it looks like. Oh, Kimmy's saying I got to hydrate. Is that why? Hmm. She's probably right. You know, the antibiotic I'm on is really bad for your kidneys. That's what they said. That looks better. You know,
I'll tell you what. Your makeup actually did a pretty good job.
Yeah, Dawn gave me this makeup. Dawn Sensland gave me this makeup. She's the only one that cares. So, thank you. Thank you, Kimmy. Shelly McDonald says I look good. It's all right. Roger, come back, Roger. I can't go on without you, Roger. But my heart will go on.
Well, I'm grateful for Roger. He gave us a lot of great content today.
For a slow Friday. I'll never listen to you again. You dared to bust my stones. I'll never listen again. I'm a snowflake. Yeah, Roger will be in the studio audience 228 telling Fela that Zioli talks too much. I think Roger may be Jimmy Fela, actually, as a matter of fact.
I say stop insulting Roger. We want to win him back.
I don't want him back, actually. Roger, you're banned.
No, Roger, we want you. We want you listening. We love you, Roger.
Cheeks.
Forgive us.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Why is Tom Brady doing the Super Bowl show? What? Why don't we have Jason Kelce do it? I like Jason Kelce a lot better.
I don't think he hosts any of the actual games, does he?
No, yeah, you're right.
I think
you're
because
right.
It's a Fox Super Bowl this year. And
oh, that's
Brady,
right.
Brady
he works for Fox,
yeah.
All right, what's the prediction for the game on Sunday? What do we got? Talk to me.
Oh.
I think the Eagles win, but I think it's going to be close. I'd go like, I don't know, 31-28 or something.
Oof, really? Oh, people are demanding the Justin cam. Can we throw the Justin cam on?
Now, my expert analysis that has not failed us at all this entire postseason, normally I would disagree with DeSantis and say it's going to be close, but I have to factor in the referee bias here. I don't think it'll be as close as DeSantis is saying.
I agree.
I'm going to go 34 to 27. Kansas City's going to try and go for 2 points on late in the fourth quarter to try and bring it to a one-score game so the refs can do their little funny business, bring it a little closer. But our defense is going to stay strong, and it's going to stop the two-point conversion, and we will win. And there will be chaos on the streets of Philadelphia for the next week.
Grease the poles, baby. Grease the poles. E-L-G-L-E-S. Eagles. Don't jinx us, Mayor. And if we lose again, it's her fault. Sherelle Parker's fault for spelling it correctly the day after we won the NFC Championship. I'm going with it's going to be a win. It's going to be a birthday present to Vince Papale. That's my theory. It's going to be a birthday gift to Vince Papale on Sunday. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a bunch of Eagles players. Vince Papale.
Saquon Barkley's birthday. Yep.
Cooper DeJean. It's Cooper DeJean's birthday. There's like a bunch of, there's one other one I can't remember.
And I'm not into like numerology, but there's something about the nines and it's February 9th and it's the Super Bowl 59. What are you laughing at, DeSantis?
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
You know what? You're the stupidest thing I ever heard. You and Roger, the two of you. You should go produce Roger's show. That's what you should do. All right, I gotta take a break. Deputy White. You're stupid. It's like we're seven. The Deputy White House Press Secretary will be my guest straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.